Shami, thank you very much for coming to the university. We wanted to pick your brains about some of our key research themes, and particularly what you think are the kind of main threats to our security today.
Well, security is such a big word. I think it means sometimes different things to different people. National security is a term that I've heard so much in my career. And of course there is a real issue around the integrity of the apparatus of the state. You know, we live in a nation state and so on. But I think that there are now very, very interesting notions of personal and human security as well. And in a sense, I think when we bring the idea of both liberty and security down to the individual person or family or community, it's easier to have a slightly more sensible, balanced conversation about the so-called trade-offs that we have to make. Because if you think about your home and your family, you would never choose to either lock your child up until they turn 18 in order to keep them absolutely safe, because you would ruin their life. But nor would you say that their freedom and autonomy means that from a very young age they should wander the streets late at night. So it seems to me that we make appropriate human balances in the small situations of home and even community a lot better than we sometimes do in the polity as a great nation, when we're told that you have to trade liberty for security, or that security is absolute.
Well, let me turn the question round then and say that in some ways perhaps the more important issue is, well, what are the biggest threats to our liberty?
I think there is a perennial threat to our liberty that is caused partly by perfectly legitimate and real concerns about crime and terrorism and so on. There is a perennial threat to our liberty that comes from slightly knee-jerk politics. So I do think we may be heading for a more interesting national conversation about our rights and freedoms, and that's just a natural democratic correction from what I think has been a very authoritarian era. I hope, for example, that in due course, when the opposition elects a new leader, liberty and fundamental rights and freedoms might be less of a dividing line between the main parties, that a new Labour leader will feel confident enough in a new direction to say perhaps we made some mistakes during the war on terror, and that perhaps influenced by their Liberal Democrat partners in the coalition, Conservatives may learn to love the Human Rights Act, and that maybe these issues won't be discussed in such a simplistic way and they won't be such deliberate dividing lines between the parties. That would be wonderful from my point of view. I'd like people to be arguing about tax and spend and the deficit and not arguing about whether we're entitled to free speech and fair trials or not.
Yeah, no, sympathetic with that line of argument, and it does seem to me that the new coalition government has kind of opened up opportunities for that conversation that were perhaps closed under the previous government. And I, like lots of people, was kind of slightly amazed or taken aback by hearing Ken Clark talk about prison in a much more critical and challenging manner. And I think that there are hopeful signs there. I mean, is it a situation where, in effect, liberty finds itself more closely called into conversations with the ruling coalition at the moment, or is it still a relationship where you kind of maintain a non-partisan position across the board?
We're still resolutely non-partisan, but we will still talk to anyone who wants to talk to us, and that's just crucial to how we function as an effective non-governmental organisation. But also I think it's about being true to our values. If we maintain, as we do, that there are some non-negotiable rights and freedoms that ought to be respected by all Democrats, those slightly to the left of politics, slightly to the right of politics, then we have to live those values by trying to engage with and encourage all of our friends across the spectrum. And there are hawks and doves on these issues across the spectrum, always have been. It's just that there are moments when the hawks or the doves are in the ascendancy in a particular political movement. You talk about the new Lord Chancellor opening up a new discussion about prison reform and how welcome that is. The sad aspect of that story is listening to, you know, the shadow Lord Chancellor and former Home Secretary Mr. Straw I'm sort of taunting him for being soft on crime. And we've seen similar responses to the new Home Secretary's counter-terror review, wanting to have another look at the balance between liberty and security, and she in turn was taunted by Mr. Johnson. Now, what I hope is that that is just a reaction for a summer of uncertainty within, you know, a great Democratic Party, the Labour Party, and that when the new generation of leadership emerges in the autumn, there'll be an opportunity for a different conversation. It's very important. It would be incredibly dangerous, both for liberty as a pressure group and for all freedom-loving people in this country, if we had a new strange dividing line where if you're interested in protecting public services, you're not interested in fundamental human rights, and if you're interested in civil liberties, you're not interested in poverty and equality. Those are false choices and they're very dangerous ones, and a conversation of that kind would not be one any of us should look forward to.